The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on today's program, from the Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana, it's Ugg the Caveman Musical. We'll be hearing some songs from that curiously titled show. And then later on, some music by Buddy Guy, the King Singers, Arlo Guthrie. Those are among the featured performers during the 2010-2011 concert season at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois at Springfield. I'll talk with Bob Vaughn, who is director of Sangamon Auditorium, and it is quite an interesting season indeed. It's live and local on FM 90.9. That was music by Louis Mauro Gottschalk, his Jota Aragonesa, a Spanish caprice. Philip Martin was the pianist on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. And first up on the show today, we have members of the Celebration Company at the Station Theater who are presenting, starting tonight, Ugg the Caveman Musical, directed by David Barclay. David is with us. As Ugg is Aaron Polk. As you're going to have to tell me how to pronounce some of these names. Do you say it? Bandala. Stevie
usually.
Shine, usually, as you like. Stevie Shine. Ta-ta-ta is Jessica Coburn. And at the keyboard, Alex Smith. Thank you all for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
So I understand that theater was invented by Ugg.
Apparently.
Who is not the Geico caveman.
No, he's not the Geico caveman.
Though Aaron looks a little bit like him, I think.
I'm looking a little like them right now, but yes.
Which I assume is your intention.
Oh, yes. And it's really hot for a beard this unruly. So from now on, we only do caveman shows in the wintertime.
This is your declaration.
Yes.
And you hope Rick Orr is listening.
No, me personally.
Personally, okay. But if somebody else wants to do a caveman musical in the summer, that's fine.
Yes.
As long as you don't have to grow the beard. Why this show? I mean, why write it in the first place? I mean, what a title.
It was written by a comedian and TV writer, and I think he's in touch with the lighter side of comedy. When I saw this on new releases by Dramatis Play Service, I thought I'd take a look at it and see what it was about, and read it, and I thought that would fit well in the black box theater like the Station Theater. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very funny show, so I proposed it. And
have you seen the show?
There you go. I have seen the show, only ours. It's
many,
been produced
many times.
Yeah, I think it premiered in 2005 or something, but the copyright on the script is 2008, so there have been a couple of productions in, one in Alabama, one in Indianapolis. I think there was one in Chicago.
It
all
did play in New
last,
York, too.
And New York.
Yeah, they played in New York.
But those two or three were all within about the last year.
The guy that originally wrote the music, he passed away a year after the show first premiered. So there was sort of an interest in his work in general. He's an Emmy Award winner for television, composer for soap operas and things like that. So mm-hmm. there was sort of an interest in his work, and it kind of...
Yeah. And I suspect, I could be totally wrong, but I suspect that he passed away before he completed scoring this show, because the music, as Alex can tell you, came... the entire score didn't come as a score. It came as a lead sheet, basically a guitar book.
Really?
Melody, lyrics, and chord symbols.
Yes, which sometimes did not all line up together. there were several... mistakes. For example, the chords would change the key of the song, but there wouldn't actually be a key change written into the music. Or there might be a 2-4 bar implied, but there's no 2-4 bar written, so everything is off by two beats, and the start of a measure does not line up where it should.
So you essentially became a second arranger or something like that. Or how did you have to work this out?
I think it's more like the first arranger. The show was originally composed, but in the form that we got it, it wasn't arranged.
We had a copy machine, then Alex.
Yeah. We received one score, which said piano conductor on it, which was the lead sheet that we received, which had some things that needed to be reworked. Plus, it was missing an entire song. And we also got books for the rest of the pit. They were the exact same book as the piano conductor score, but with a sticker over the words piano conductor in the front. And on the sticker, it said guitar, piano, or drums. But it was the exact same book with a sticker.
But Alex has done a really great job of writing all these parts and making it all
He has
fit
put
together.
In many, many, many hours.
Well, you're just, I mean, this is a whole other conversation, which we're not going to have. Frustration that many music directors have with many show rights people that they send you these things. And you really can't, you know, if the show's been done before, why don't they fix them? That's a whole down another road. What is Ugg the Caveman musical about?
Well,
go ahead, Aaron.
You want me to do it?
You're Ugg.
Largely, it's about seeking boar. And they laugh, but I'm really...
That is
B-O-A-R.
B-O-A-R.
Indeed.
Really, the premise of the play is that pretty much the entire tribe is dead. There's only six people left in the tribe. Ugg has gotten kind of bored of telling the same story over and over again. So he invents a new way of telling the story that's more lively, and then basically inadvertently invents theater. And so it's decided that they're going to present this new invention, the invention of a play, to the leader of a tribe that's coming to visit. So it's...
And wacky hijinks
wacky
ensue.
Wacky hijinks ensue. It's been referred to as sort of a caveman waiting for Guffman, and it is kind of... I mean, all the stereotypes about theater are there. One of the... Bandala plays my girlfriend in the show, and she gets fired from the show and is replaced by the tribe babe. And so there's, you know, a rift between them. And
is that Ta-Ta-Ta?
Ta-Ta-Ta.
The younger, ta-ta-ta, hotter, yeah, boar.
Yeah, uh-huh. The younger, hotter boar. There's a fussy costumer, and, you know, the actor doesn't take direction very well. I mean, so it's got all these sort of theater stereotypes and conventions thrown into a caveman setting.
And how, given that this is a bunch of Neanderthals, how does a keyboard figure in it?
Well, I think
how
like
does
a five-part
harmony, yeah.
six-part, eight-part harmony.
I mean, didn't somebody need to invent music first?
Well, like most conventional musicals, people just break into song, and that is their natural world. Just like in Guys and Dolls, you're walking down Broadway in New York, all of a sudden everyone breaks into song and dance.
In unreality, all is forgiven.
In unreality, all is forgiven. That's a good
way. We've actually been referring to it as an unreality in the rehearsal process. So, okay, these two are in unreality and you are in reality. So you guys have to react this way and you guys have to react this way. And sometimes it's hard to keep straight whether or not you're in reality or unreality.
And I think, I mean, it sounds as though, you know, we complain about lack of scoring for the show, but I think that it was kind of a unique experience to be mm-hmm. able to shape all this around us, and that most of us, well, none of us were familiar with the show. So we could sort of, you know, we had a lot of opportunities to mold it, and the harmonies were written specifically for our voices, and it was really unique to be able to shape things just the way that would suit each of us best.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, I don't have a complaint about the shape that the score came in. It just gave me a really good excuse to meet my own unrealistically high standards and expectations.
Well, I think it's fantastic to hear a completely different version. You can, if people are interested, you could look on YouTube. Part of this show is up from a different production in Alabama, completely different take on the music,
okay,
and characters and costumes and everything. And it's I think it's fascinating to look at the differences in Alex's mind, what he came up with when he saw this music, and what these other people had come up with. The same music can be so different because it came in that more less developed form.
I don't read
do
music
what
very
you
well,
want with
and
it.
In order to learn some of these songs, and there's no soundtrack available, so I looked on YouTube to find some of these songs and, you know, kind of hear how they go, and realized very quickly that I was not going to be able to learn these songs that way because they don't sound anything like that anymore. Alex actually had to sort of make discs of plunking out notes for me so that I could drive in my car and learn the new melodies that way.
In that particular footage that Dave was talking about, in that production they had the band on stage wearing costumes. And so to answer your question back there, you know, we've incorporated the music and the band into the scene by separating it out with a curtain. The band is never seen. And in fact, the music kind of comes from a deeper part of the cave. So it kind of, it's part of them, but it's the music isn't a visible entity.
The pit is an actual literal pit.
The pit is unseen. Oh yes, it is a void. It is a darkness.
So this actually could be people whacking away on rocks back behind the curtain and making tunes. You know,
it could be
properly measured. You know, out so that they create certain pitches. You brought a few songs. We might as well get some idea of what you're talking about. Who's going first?
I am first.
And what's the context for this song?
Well, it's like I said before, Ugg is sort of, I mean, there's very few people left. Ugg is the leader of this tribe, and he spends a lot of time thinking about, you know, life and living. And
he's a deep thinker.
A deep thinker, yes. As the tribe begins to dwindle, Ugg starts worrying about the mark that this tribe and these people are leaving on the world. And This is that song, I guess.
Aaron Polk in the role of Ugg the Caveman from the production opening tonight in Urbana at the Station Theater. You're hearing it on Alive and Local on FM 90.9.
What is my purpose? Is there more than just this? Was I put here on earth to follow a dream or merely exist? I wouldn't mind the tears and the strife if only I'd find the meaning of life. Destined for greatness, or to live out my days? Was I fated to leave my mark on the earth in mysterious ways? Was I meant to go solo, or else find a wife? When will I ever find the meaning of life? The moon is my anchor, the stars are my guide. I forge ahead with my eyes open wide. Mistakes I have made, the bridges I've burned, are the price that I pay for the lessons I've learned. My name disappear after I'm gone? Will the wonderful things that I create live on and on? Not knowing the answer cuts like a knife. When will I ever find the meaning of life? Is there more than just this? Was I put here on earth to follow a dream or merely exist? Oh, I wouldn't mind the tears and the strife if only I'd find the meaning of life. If only I'd find the meaning of life.
And do you?
Do you find the meaning of life? Yes.
Yes. It's actually very funny because in conversation with David when this show started, I've always sort of likened the show and the feel of this show to things like old Danny Kaye or the kind of vaudeville feeling of like the Muppet Show. And it's always been a life's dream of mine to be on the Muppet Show. So, yes.
Seriously. dare I ask about the costumes?
I am taking no end of crap from my family because there's a picture of Jessica and I in the newspaper yesterday, and basically I'm wearing a skirt. And so it's all caveman. Debbie Richardson designed the costumes, and they're all very, you know, stark browns and made of leathers and suedes and skins and
furs.
How many saber-toothed tigers were killed in order to make the costume?
Probably one for the saber-toothed pie.
Yeah.
In the cooking song.
Well, there is a saber-toothed pie.
There is
all
a saber-toothed pie.
There is a reference to saber-tooth. Or
the
saber-teeth.
Saber-toothed pie is, I guess, the high point of the song from a vocal range standpoint. We have a singer who has a very impressive range for a guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I wrote saber-toothed pie up. Very high for him.
And who is that?
That is Corbin Dixon.
Corbin Dixon in the role of Ig. Yes, and I see that Zach Lutz is in the role of Arg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why do the guys get... And Bob?
Yes, there is a caveman named Bob.
Bob is a timeless name.
and all the... Well, it looks like at least some of the girls have these longer more syllables in the names. And who is... Fatalataba?
Fatalataba is Chris Brown.
Is that a he or a she?
That's a he.
So some of the guys get longer names.
Yeah.
They're from a different tribe. So yeah.
Fatalataba
they're more
and
evolved.
Chief Uluki are from the neighboring tribe.
I see. Okay. Well, we heard Aaron Polk in the role of Ugg the Caveman from the Celebration Company's production of that musical, which opens tonight and runs through the 17th, right?
Yes.
And all shows are at 8 o'clock. You have some dark nights, I imagine?
We have one. We have shows this Thursday, tonight, Friday, and Saturday, but we don't have a show on the 4th of July, so we can all watch the fireworks.
And then the rest of the time?
Mondays and Tuesdays are dark at the station.
Yes.
So Monday and Tuesday are dark. Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, they run Wednesday through Sunday.
All right. And the phone number for the station for anybody to get tickets?
384-4000.
And for more information, stationtheater.com. We aren't done by any means. We've got a couple more songs from the show, I guess. We've got two girls here. I guess you're each going to sing. I hope you came for that reason. Who's next?
Actually,
Stevie or Jessica?
Why don't you explain this one?
Well, we're going to do a little love duet.
Aww.
It's called Tingle, to describe our feelings for each other. Ugg and Bandala eventually decide that perhaps they do have special feelings for each other, and maybe they want to try out monogamy for a little while. And they're sort of just discovering these feelings, and so, of course, they sing a song about them.
So is this before or after he dumps you as his woman?
Before, adding insult to injury.
What do you call these feelings?
What do you call these feelings?
Well, we're going to find out here.
We are.
Stevie Shine in the role of Bandala. However you say that? Bandala?
It's
Bandala.
Different every time.
And
who says it?
Aaron Polk is Ugg on Live and Local.
Find the words hard to explain.
Feelings like ours must have a name.
We kiss and I start to hear the rhythm of my heart. I tingle, tingle, tingle. I need you so much that I go crazy when we touch. I tingle, tingle, tingle.
your moods,
sensing your moods,
willing to bend,
I'll be your rock,
and I'll be your friend.
The closer we've grown, the more I want you
for my own.
That's so tender. You know, for some reason, I did peek at some of the songs beforehand, and I don't really know what I expected, but I expected songs that sounded, you know, more like you would expect somebody like Ugg to sing, you know, grunts and I don't know what all. But this is actually rather nice. In fact, Aaron, I didn't even know you sang. I've seen you in a few shows, and
I get that all the time. People like they don't know that. I think the last musical I did there was 3 seasons ago. It was Woody Guthrie's American Song. I've actually been a company member since 2001, and I've only done 3 musicals in that time.
Well, you should do some more. You got a nice voice.
I like doing musicals, and they make my mom happy.
Why is that?
My mother loves to hear me sing, and she loves musicals. And often,
and is she around here?
She's in Gibson City, but often some of the shows that I'm doing at the station are often full of things that she doesn't want to watch her boy do on stage. So musicals are
utterly tasteless. these other shows,
taste is no object.
But I get that a lot. People don't realize that I sing just because I don't do it very often.
Yeah, well, you do fine. I mean, I've heard Stevie before, and I knew that she sings extremely well. And now we get to find out what Jessica sounds like, because I don't think I've heard you in a show before.
No.
In the role of the babe. Ta-ta-ta, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good scene.
Is there a context for this one?
This is her great coup.
As in C-O-U-P.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes.
Yeah.
C-O-U-P.
This is pretty much after Bandala tells Ugg how wonderful his new invention is and how perhaps he should find someone else to play the boar.
Ta-ta-ta tells this.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
And the name of the song is What Can You Do For Me?
And you're going to hear it on Live and Local right this very second.
But I don't work for free. I'd like to help you all I can to be a better man. But what can you do for me? I'll treat you gentle, I'll treat you rough, I'll do it totally. And when you finally had enough, I'll ask you, what can you do for me? I can woo you and do you and flutter my eyes. I can dance and twirl and crush a rock with my thighs. I know what I can do for you, but what can you do for me? I can't cook or sew or work like a slave. My talents lie in another part of the cave. I know what you want and I know what you need, and I'll do it all for you. But baby, what can you do for me? As surely as the world is flat, I'll be there faithfully. I'd like to help you all I can to be a better man. But what can you do for me? What can you do for me?
Now that's what I call a caveman song.
Yeah. It's not quite as primitive as you may expect them to sound, but I think that's what's part of the camp charm that is our show.
Mm-hmm. Jessica Coburn as Ta-Ta-Ta from Ugg the Caveman musical, which features coquettish cave women, fame-seeking Neanderthals, and grouchy bearskin designers vying for fame and fortune and making comical discoveries along the way. So says newsreview.com about this show, which opens tonight at the Station Theater in Urbana, the Celebration Company putting that on. And we've been pleased to welcome three of the cast members, Aaron Polk as Ugg, Stevie Shine as Bandala, and Jessica Coburn as Ta-Ta-Ta. Stage director David Barkley and Alex Smith, the music director and keyboardist for us on this show. And if you want more information, it's stationtheater.com, or the phone number again for tickets?
384-4000.
And why did it take some archaeologists so long to discover this musical?
It was found in a deep cave just south of Syracuse. They didn't dig till 2004, wrote it in 2005, ready to go.
We haven't changed anything because it was written in stone.
It was written in stone. Oh, did you come up with that right now?
That is actually a gag from the show.
We've just given it away.
Yeah. Oh, but you don't know when it comes, see?
Oh, well, there you go. And we don't know the context.
There's 5 million lines in the show.
Or who actually speaks it. And a wonderful cave environment, too, by our set designer, Charles Mirecki.
The Station Theater itself has a nice little cave environment.
It's cave-like. But we spent hundreds of man hours building a cave.
And will there be fire?
There is a fire pit.
Okay.
Yes.
We won't burn the place down.
That's good.
If that's what you're concerned about.
There's a lot of wood. There's a lot of wood in there.
There's no smoke. If you're worried about that, there's no smoke.
All right.
You should probably actually mention, David, as well, that tonight's show is actually sold out.
Yes, tonight's show is sold out, but there are no other sold out shows as yet. We are taking tickets very well for most shows. But
now that this show has aired right here, I'm sure all of them will be sold out.
We'll be swamped. And we're looking forward to Saturday night before the 4th, when all your friends and family who are coming to visit come see our show.
Exactly.
Get psyched up for the 4th of July.
Ugg the Caveman musical, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Sounds like fun.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Coming up, a conversation with Bob Vaughn, director of Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield, who will be bringing a different brand of entertainment, actually many kinds of entertainment, in this coming season. We'll hear some samples in just a few minutes. Today's broadcast on FM 90.9 is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karastan Broadloom and Rug dealer at 11 West Port Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Bob Vaughn, who is director of Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois at Springfield. And they have a wonderful performing arts series every year, and they've just announced their new one for 2010-2011, and three different series. We'll let Bob tell us about it. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and the station's wonderful, you know.
Well, we appreciate that compliment. Yeah. You've got three performing arts series this year. Is that the same number you normally have?
Yes, it is. We actually are going it on our own in Broadway this year. You know, with state appropriation decline in state appropriations, it's necessary for us to increase our earned income, and so one of the ways that we do that is we've chosen to do it this year, really, is to sever our relationship with former Broadway partner, which is unfortunate for them. They are going ahead with the series downtown, but we are going to go ahead and we're booking shows that that I think are exciting and that I think that our Broadway audiences will enjoy, and our soft seat and acoustically very, very nice hall at the Sangamon Auditorium.
So the four you've come up with this year, I probably should have heard of one of these, but seem not to have, in spite of the fact that it won a bunch of Tony Awards.
Yes, well, we have some, we have a lot of Tonys awarded to these shows. The only one that really has not been prominent in the Tony effort is Legally Blonde. Has some local connections, though, with the Legally Blonde 2, the film, being shot partially at the State Capitol building.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. It's a delightful show anyway, but we're kicking off the series this year with Chorus Line, which appeared on our stage 30 years ago as the first Broadway show that was ever presented in the house. And it was such a treat to have Marvin Hamlisch here a couple of years ago to give us a concert and have dinner with him and so forth. And Chorus Line is, of course, a fabulous show. And we know that the quality of the production will be right up there, and our audiences will really love it. Then we have Spring Awakenings, which is a real treat. And is a little bit more, a little edgier material. Contains some adult and themes, really. But I really would encourage folks to visit the website and connect to the Spring Awakenings site, because you'll see there some of the discussions between mothers and their daughters, and you'll then recognize the value of this production. And probably in reviewing the material, you'll see get a good idea why it won 7 Tonys in 2007. And so we've chosen to present this. We know that it's suitable for secondary level and up, really. And so we're going to start that show at 8 p.m. on a Sunday evening, rather than the customary 7 p.m. time. Another way to kind of send that message. But then we move to in Broadway to Legally Blonde, and then on in the spring to presenting 3 shows of Mamma Mia. They've had a lot of exposure, you know. Mamma Mia's everywhere these days.
Sure. So. Do the Broadway shows tend to be your biggest selling shows?
Those are they sell consistently better than say our mission oriented programs. We do mission oriented. We do programs because some of our offerings we do because of the content, because of the artistic quality, because of that they've stood the test of time, or that they've been recognized by the by experts in the field as being quality shows, or that, you know, they engage us intellectually, or they have emotional content that grabs and connects with our audiences. But sometimes those shows are do predictably smaller numbers. Broadway shows don't seem to have that problem. They seem to appeal pretty effectively to larger numbers of people. And we do some pop shows too that also connect in those same sort of ways. But we're doing, for example, the Bayanihan Philippine National Dance Company. Probably see that over in Champaign-Urbana also. We're bringing David Sedaris back, who is a regular at public radio and certainly a popular author. Several of our friends I know have books and have expressed an interest in seeing David again.
Yeah, I think I've read 3 different books of his.
Yeah, he's got a new one coming out just before his performance here, so we're looking forward to that.
Well, that'll be convenient.
Yeah, and then I'm sure he'll stay around to sign them. He always does. And then we're on the kickoff event for our family series is a piece called "The Incredible Speediness of Jamie Cavanaugh." Deals with attention deficit disorder, and it's a really fine piece of work from Roseneath Theatre, in a Canadian company, We'll have some great fun with that show. We have a number of other sponsors and collaborators and doing the presentation and reaching special audience for the show. And then a very special event for us, a Paul Taylor Dance Company, a return visit. You know, we did have, we have a dancer that's really retiring from the Paul Taylor Company this, just before this performance, unfortunately, but who is an alumnus of the Springfield Ballet here. And so we think that local dancers will take some extra pride in seeing the Paul Taylor Company. And not to mention the fact that Paul Taylor is a genius anyway. I mean, and the company is beautiful anyhow. So I think that'll sell very well, and I think people are in for a real kind of a goosebump experience with Paul Taylor.
You're opening your Visiting Artist series with one of the folks that I imagine is, you referred earlier to, some of the popular performers who are probably likely to bring in a good crowd, Buddy Guy.
Buddy Guy, you know, I can't believe that Buddy Guy's never performed in Springfield. He's just up in Chicago, and he's all these years, and he is one of the seminal blues artists. In fact, I can't think of very many blues artists that I'd rather hear than Buddy Guy. I mean, and what a great performer. I mean, he does all the he does sets, tribute sets to various of the Jimi Hendrix and some of the other more contemporary blues players, and he'll be out in the audience with folks and letting them strum the guitar as he frets it. But what an amazing performer! He's won every award that you can imagine. I don't know, 23 W.C. Handy awards, I think, and I don't know how many awards he's won. He just continues to amaze us all, and that'll be a real treat. That'll sell very fast, of course.
And that's on that's your opening Visiting Artist concert, Sunday, October the 10th.
And yes, indeed.
We do have a tune of his here. It's a Buddy Guy called Skin Deep. Let's give a listen on Live and Local. That was Buddy Guy performing a tune called Skin Deep. He's going to be at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield. They're opening a Visiting Artist for that series on October the 10th at 7 o'clock. And that should be a good show. You got quite a nice, I mean, the whole rest of this Visiting Artist series is quite a lineup as well. You've got this Drumline.
Yeah, Drumline concert. Live. Yeah, they just did the last tour was very successful. This is kind of folks are familiar with Drumline, I think, from the film and from television. But what a nice way to experience some of the other forms of music set to the in the marching band sort of musical genre. And of course, that will help us to create links and partnerships out to the marching band crowd, and those who enjoy the marching band shouldn't miss Drumline Live. It's a lot of fun, great show. It's kind of a celebration of the Southern Black universities and colleges and the effort and all the wonderful attention that they've shown to marching band in a competitive way. Then we go on to really some of the finest tango artists in the world, Tango Buenos Aires, and we'll have some fun collateral events around this, some tango things. Well, folks are really tuning in to and paying a lot of attention to dance lately, and tango is one of the forms that's featured on some of the more popular television fare. So I think they ought to show up and see some of the finest in the world and get a new perspective on the form.
That'd
then we go to kind of one of our another one of our family events, Giggle Giggle Quack, and this is based on one of the popular children's books, you know. And all I can say about that is keep your eye on Duck. Duck is a problem, you know. He's got some issues going on there. So.
He's trouble, huh?
He's trouble, yeah. And then we feature the King Singers, who are, well, a household name with those that are interested in vocal music. It's a small ensemble vocal music, one of the preeminent ensembles in the world, from King's College and Cambridge University. And they've performed all over the world, of course. And just as a special treat, we're going to have our Springfield Choral Society accompany the King Singers in one of the final works on the program. So that's a great opportunity for them to be able to sing, put on the resume the fact that they have performed with the King Singers.
Sure, that'll be next February.
Yeah, next February. Then another baby boomer focused show, Hot Tuna Blues. Although if you're interested in acoustic blues and this is, there's quite a bit of electric in this program as well. Hot Tuna, you know, was a rock group that was evolved up out of the Jefferson Airplane back in the 60s. Jefferson Airplane, Jorma Kaukonen, who was their lead guitarist in Jefferson Airplane, and Jack Cassidy. Hot Tuna Blues, that's March 4th. And then Arlo Guthrie returns to our stage, this time with the Byrne Sisters. And the last time I saw the Byrne Sisters was at the Knitting Factory. And Arlo is a walking encyclopedia of the folk genre. And just he did a one-person show the last time he was here. And this time with the Byrne Sisters, he'll have a full band as well. And so I look for that to be a really fine show. It's in March.
I wanted to play a little bit of Arlo Guthrie. I think a pretty stereotypical presentation of his kind of story song coming into Los Angeles. I remember his motorcycle song from years ago.
Coming into Los Angeles, huh?
Is that how he says that? Yeah, I haven't listened through yet. Coming into Los Angeles, then, in that case, Arlo Guthrie.
Indeed.
Here on Live and Local. He's going to be at Sangamon Auditorium in next March, and we're talking to director Bob Vaughn.
Back to L.A. Couple of keys. Now don't touch my bags, if you please, Mr. Customs Man.
Arlo Guthrie's coming into Los Angeles. He's going to be at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield next March on the 16th with the Burns Sisters. And Bob Vaughn, who is director of the auditorium, is my guest on this portion of Live and Local. We have just a couple of minutes to mention what's left in the series.
Only a couple left. Tom Chapin's coming, you know, Harry's brother. Tom probably plays Cat's Cradle better than anybody else out there, finishing up our family series this year. And then we're bringing in the great character actor Anthony Zerbe to do a one-man show of E.E. Cummings' work. It's all done with mirrors and damn everything but the circus. And Zerbe is you see his face, he's familiar to you. The name might not mean much to you, but the guy is all over the place. He's in Matrix, he's in Star Trek, he's in a whole range of films all over the place. And all the way back, I remember him as the Dry Leper and Papillon, for that matter. But then, Zerbe is working with students in bringing printed word up off the page in performance, and he's also doing a lecture and doing the public performance. And then we finished the visiting artist series with Peter Yarrow and Noel Paul Stuckey, the two of the three members of Peter, Paul, and Mary. You know, we lost Mary this past year, And I'll never forget my last discussion with Mary, telling her how important what we were doing in the performing arts was, and she turned to me and just said, "Bob, it just seems to me it's more important how we treat each other." And that was Mary Travers for you. So Peter Yarrow and Noel Paul Stuckey performing. They'll do some tribute to Mary as well, I'm sure, and then perform other works that that they have that worked on over the years, and more recently probably too. So.
That'll be a rather bittersweet concert, I imagine. I always loved Peter, Paul, and Mary when I was a kid, especially.
They'll cover some of that material too, I'm sure. So
next May 1st.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, it sounds like a great season.
Oh, it's a lot of fun, and I think folks will have a great time with this. They can buy a season ticket to Visiting Artists, one to Family Series, one to Broadway, or they can wait and buy Create Your Own Series, or they can buy individual tickets. There's a lot of different opportunities for them. Right now, we're open for the sale of season tickets.
And single tickets won't go on sale till the end of August.
Yes, by all means, you ought to be able to find several events there that would be fun to attend. And people make choices later than they used to, but still, you save some money. Give us a call at 217-206-6160, or go online and learn more about these artists at www.sangamonauditorium.org.
And Bob Vaughn, director of Sangamon Auditorium, my guest on Live and Local, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate the opportunity.
And one of the performers in their series next February 26th is the King Singers from England, as he mentioned during our discussion. Here they are singing a setting of Pie Jesu by English composer John Brunning.